Gospel of Luke, chapter 3, starting at verse number 1. Hear the word of the Lord. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod, tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea, and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the desert. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet. A word of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked road shall become straight, the rough way smooth, and all mankind will see God's salvation. And John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. Church, it is our intent over the next 6 to 7 months to explore the gospel according to Luke and the book of Acts over that time period. Again, I want to invite you to join with the community of faith here as we explore these texts in sermons, as well as read these texts together in community slowly as a body. I want to remind you that each week on your way out, there will be reading guides that will provide for you a reading guide as we break the readings down into smaller readings throughout the week. They're also in the rack between the bathrooms in the foyer. You can also find an electronic version of this on the website, and so if you forget to pick one up here and you need to be reminded. Also, if you're not a member of the Facebook group, the Reynoldsburg Church of Christ group, ask to be a member of that group, and I post daily reminders of the reading as well as a short and quick devotional thought. Thank you, Kent, for your thoughts at the table, as well as you taking me up on a challenge to read through the Gospel of Luke, and I know that some of you others have done that as well. I want to invite you to do that, to just block some time, get you a cup of coffee or a soda or something, and just read through the Gospel of Luke and really inhale what this reading has to offer. As we go through the Gospel of Luke and the sermons that will be provided, we're going to try our best to treat Luke as it was treated in its original setting. In its original setting, as it was read, Luke didn't have Matthew, Mark, and John as resources alongside the reading of Luke. So what I'm saying is that the original readers of Luke would read Luke and see what Luke had to offer. They didn't consult Matthew and Mark and John to see what was missing or to fill in gaps. Again, understand that the author of Luke had an intent to persuade the reader, to be convinced of what they had already been believed. And so Luke does things with stories and puts stories in different places as to perform what he was trying to do and persuade the reader to be more convinced in his belief in Jesus. In December, we explored the stories surrounding the birth narratives of Jesus during the Christmas holiday and season of Advent. As such, this morning, we're going to continue our journey in the Gospel of Luke by jumping to chapter 3. In December, we looked at the birth narratives from Luke chapter 1 and Luke chapter 2. So we're going to pick up this morning in Luke chapter 3, where we're reintroduced to a character that was actually introduced in the first chapter. His name is John, and we first learn of John as his birth was announced to his father Zechariah and mother Elizabeth, and we learn that this character John is a relative, a cousin of Jesus Christ. We see this long narrative of the unfolding of the birth of John, and his father lost his ability to talk and hear perhaps. We learn that John was prophesied about in the Old Testament, and we learn that John was going to play a key role, a vital role, in the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In the introduction provided in Luke chapter 3, the author provides some historical markers. He mentions some of the leaders at that time. He starts by identifying the big leader, the leader of the kingdom, the empire, Rome. He moves then to identify some regional leaders and concludes by identifying some religious leaders. Now, many a commentator will note that this style of writing was common in the first century, especially for those who were seeking to establish the historicity of the text. In other words, Luke is trying to say that what I'm about to write about actually took place during a period in history. There were contemporaries who were in place. Now, this introduction also helps us to establish a relatively good time period for the events, accurate time period. We're talking about roughly the years between 28 and 30 AD or CE, Common Era. But even more important, we are about to hear a story about one of God's prophets who came preaching during a period in history where a message was needed to be preached. It was a period where the empire of the time had taken root in a lot of people. We're talking about a period of time where the government was in place and influential. We are talking about a period where even the office of the high priest had become so political that it was hard to distinguish whether the role of the high priest was spiritual or political. And thus, in the midst of the uber political atmosphere, my man John comes on the scene to preach. His message is simple, but loaded with implications. I don't know about you, but when I say the word politics, everybody knows what we're talking about, don't we? Because we have a society that is so inundated with politics from the local level to the national level and even on the global stage. And so as John comes to preach to this community and to this society that is so infiltrated with ideas of politics, it seems fitting for us in the 21st century that whatever is going to be said here, whatever is going to be preached here, whatever is going to unfold in the story here is actually going to speak to us. We are talking about John, who came preaching repentance. His message was simple, loaded with implications. He came baptizing or immersing in water, ceremonially cleansing. And this baptism was attached to what would be the core response to the gospel of the kingdom: change. John came in the mold of the prophets of old. The prophets of old came on the scene during the reign of kings of Israel and the reigns of kings of other nations and countries. They would proclaim, these prophets, the word of the Lord as it pertained to the hearts of the people, God's people, Israel. The people were challenged to change their hearts, change their outlooks, and change their actions. Thus, for Luke, John is the fulfillment of the preaching of the prophet Isaiah, who preached a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked roads shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all mankind will see God's salvation. Now, when we read the other synoptic gospels, Matthew and Mark, they not only introduce the preaching of John, they also describe his appearance and strange diet. But for some reason, Luke eliminates that description from his introduction of John. But for Luke, he does not eliminate what the message of John was. He doesn't eliminate what John preached. What John performed and what John's ministry and who John's ministry affected. We learned that the crowds were coming to John to be baptized and to hear his message. And here is the preaching in the desert. This one preaching in the desert, there is something to say about that location that he was preaching in the desert. The desert place was much more than just a geographical marker. The desert was also a place of theology. It was a theological marker. It marked a connection to the plight of Israel, who wandered years in the desert. It marked a connection to a people who didn't have a land to call their own. It marked a connection to a people who were often thirsting for truth and thirsting for relationship with God. It marked a connection to a people who didn't have a land and lacked personal significance and meaning. And church, in the 21st century, not much has changed. Because we still find ourselves searching for God and searching for truth and searching for relationship and searching for meaning and searching for significance. We often find ourselves out of place with no real place to call our home. So church, hear me when I say that John's message is not just for those of old, but for us now to hear. He was sent to prepare the way for the Messiah and his preaching. And it marked a significant call for people to change. His message was fiery. John didn't mince words. You brood of vipers, he called them. You litter of snakes. What a way to characterize a group of people. But John came preaching fire, church. With a broad stroke, he gave commentary to a society in need of change. His message was primarily focused on the Jews. These Jews claimed solidarity with their ancestor Abraham and thus ancestors of God. John's message seemed to say, you claim to be descendants of Abraham, descendants of God, well, prove it. He says, produce some fruit. If you don't produce fruit, God is ready to cut you off. In response to John's fiery preaching, the people ask, what shall we do then? Now, those of you who are familiar with the Bible, and particularly the book of Acts, that statement sounds familiar, doesn't it? You recall in the book of Acts, and we'll get there, but I want you to start to see some of the connections that Luke provides in the Gospel of Luke as we anticipate the reading of the book of Acts. Because in the book of Acts, after Peter preaches the first gospel sermon, the text says that the people went up to Peter and said, men, brethren, what shall we do? It's this question that people hear preaching and they want to know what to do. You see, that's the response to the gospel.
The response to the gospel is one of saying, what do I do in response to what I've just heard? What do I do in response to being convicted by the messages that you're preaching? What do I do when I am hit with the truth of reality of the gospel of Christ? The response to the fiery and animated word of God from John was, what do we need to do? And John doesn't disappoint by leaving them hanging. He gives a response and begins to describe the type of activity that should accompany repentance and baptism. In Luke chapter 3, in verse number 10, the text says that John says, the man with two tunics should share with him who has none, and the one who has food should do the same. You see, we learn that the response to the gospel of the kingdom is not relegated to just keeping a moral code. That's part of it. But the response John lays out has a social component. What do we do in response to God's impending judgment? In the face of God's truth, we share. Now let me lay out another foreshadowing, because when we get to the book of Acts and we see the church there responding to the message of God, what is one of the first things we see the church doing after they're baptized? They share. See, in response to the kingdom, in response to the good news of the Messiah, God's way, we share. But he doesn't stop there. We start to see that the makeup of the crowds of those coming to hear John is diverse. And among this diverse group is a group of individuals who were used by the empire to burden the Jews with excess taxes. In verse number 12, chapter 3, it says, tax collectors also came to be baptized. Teacher, they asked, what should we do? And John responds to them and says, don't collect any more than you are required to. Again, the response has a relational and social component. Stop cheating your fellow woman or your fellow man. But also some soldiers inquired. In verse number 14, it says, then some soldiers asked him, and what should we do? And John replied to them, don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay. Now, it may be that our author is giving us hints to what will be played out throughout the Gospel of Luke. It may be that we are getting our first glimpse of some of the radical teachings we will encounter in Luke Acts. It may be that we will be encouraged to see that repentance is vital in the lifestyle of those who claim relationship with God. It may be that repentance is about change of lifestyle. It's a change in outlook, and it's a change in the way we treat one another. It may be that we are given a glimpse that when it comes to money and riches, we need to be happy with what we have. And maybe we need to stop consuming ourselves with getting more. It will be hard to deny that the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts says a lot about money and possessions. But what it says about money and possessions might shock us, especially in a society where money talks. But the extent of John's message was not limited to the discussion about extortion or overburdening tax systems. Continuing to read Luke at chapter 3 and verse number 15, it says the people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Christ. John answered them all, I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, and the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie.
He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in the hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And with many other words, John exhorted the people and preached the good news to them. You know, there's been some time between the birth of Christ and where we are now. Some close to 30 years has almost passed. And while there were some at the birth of Christ who connected Jesus, this infant child, to the Messiah, there were still many who were awaiting the arrival of the Christ. And there would be several who would see charismatic figures and immediately question whether they were the prophesied Messiah. And in response to the inquiry of him being the Messiah, John quickly denies the insinuation and speaks to his own mission. He was not the Christ, but he was there to prepare the way. He came to prepare the way for Messiah, who too was going to baptize, but he was going to baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. The Christ, John says, will baptize or immerse us in the Holy Spirit and fire. That is to say that we will be overwhelmed by this Spirit, and the imagery of fire is one that suggests a burning away of all the impurities and the waste, as in refining silver or gold. We will be immersed and steeped in God's Spirit for the purpose of true, genuine change and purposeful kingdom living. Hear how those same verses are translated in the Message, verse number 16 of chapter 3. It says, "But John intervened, 'I'm baptizing you here in the river.' The main character in this drama, to whom I'm a mere stagehand, will ignite the kingdom life, a fire, the Holy Spirit within you, changing you from the inside out. He's going to clean house, make a clean sweep of your lives. He'll place everything true in its proper place before God. Everything false he'll put out with the trash to be burned." John was preparing the way for radical and sweeping life change through the ministry of the Christ. John was setting the stage for a Messiah to come and change the way we look at God, change the way we think about the kingdom or empire, change the way we look at sinners, change the way we look at the poor, change the way we look at money, change the way we look, think about forgiveness, change the way we think about ceremony, change the way we think about people from other cultures, change the way we think about people with disease, and change the way we think about God's love. John prepared the way. In ancient times, the messengers for ancient kings would announce the king's coming and physically prepare the way by making sure the roads were ready for the king to travel. It would be as if there was an important person, a dignitary, like mom, come into the house. When mom's about to come to the house, we spend time preparing the house. We spend time telling the kids, grandma's on her way. We spend time cleaning the room she's going to sleep in. We wash the sheets. I don't wash the sheets when other people, we wash the sheets. When mamas come in, we do laundry on the sheets. We do some extra fluffing with the pillows because she's important. And we want to prepare this place for somebody important. In ancient days, when a king was coming, messengers would go ahead. They would tell the town, "The king is coming." They would go see where the king was going to stay.
They would make sure that place was clean. They would make sure that place was stocked with good food, not just any food, but good food and good drink, and that it was safe. They prepared the way. John the Baptizer filled that role by teaching the people to prepare their hearts for Jesus through repentance. And church, we have that same role today. And maybe that's the call from today's text, to prepare the way. Preparing the way for those who are in desperate need of a new beginning by proclaiming that Jesus Christ has come to establish a new beginning with them. Do you know anybody who's searching for meaning in life? You know anybody searching for significance? Maybe it's our call to go to that person and to prepare the way for the arrival of a king that was sent to give everybody meaning, from the poor to the rich, to the popular to the unpopular, to the healthy and the sick. Preparing the way for those who are looking for a relationship with Christ by proclaiming that Jesus Christ died for a church where they can belong. I pray that this church continues to be a church where you can come as you are, with all of your baggage, with all of your mistakes, and know that when you walk through those doors with all of your mistakes, you're entering into a crowd that's full of people with a bunch of mistakes. Can I get an amen? Amen. Maybe it's our call from this text that we continue preparing the way for those who experience the suffocating pain of broken relationships by proclaiming that Jesus Christ has come to offer peace and love through the Holy Spirit. Maybe it's our call to continue preparing the way by proclaiming that we have at our fingertips the biblical record, the Holy Scriptures that can have a transforming effect in our lives if we read it. Maybe it's our call this morning that we continue preparing the way by proclaiming that Jesus Christ has come and blessed you, giving testimony of the cleansing power of Jesus Christ and his impact on your life. Maybe it's our call to continue preparing the way by living lives that is not marked by the amount of money in our bank accounts, but by the amount of love in our hearts and the measure of love that we give to one another. Maybe that's the call from the text, for us to be the collective voice in the wilderness, crying out, prepare your hearts for the way of the Lord. And this voice is heard not only through the words we speak, but through the actions we live. I know I mentioned earlier that our sister Margaret Young passed away. And if you would have just allow me just another minute to reflect on that experience. I don't enjoy doing funerals necessarily, but I enjoyed that experience. I enjoyed that experience because it was amazing when I talked to family members. Y'all remember Jerry Fox? We're speaking of Jerry Fox's grandmother. I called Jerry Fox, who couldn't make it into town because he's traveling out of the country with his company. But he wanted me to, you know, express to the family, you know, his apologies for not being able to make it. But he also wanted me to share that when you're talking about his grandmother, you're talking about the woman who laid down the foundation for everything that he is as a man, who credits this woman
with the faith of his mother, his father, his wife, and his children. So it was just such a delight to experience stories of people who said, here is a woman who prepared the way. And so at the funeral, there was a little talk about we mourn and we're sad, but there was a lot of talk about it's time to celebrate. Because many people in this room are who they are because this lovely woman prepared the way. And here's the thing. If I have the opportunity to do your funeral, or you have the opportunity to do my funeral, I would love for the words to be preached at my funeral that Dion spent a lifetime preparing the way for others. That Loretta spent a lifetime preparing the way for others. That Harry spent a lifetime preparing the way for others. And there are people in this room that would get up and testify at this funeral that I am who I am because of Harry or because of Barb or because of Marshall. Maybe this is our call from the text this morning, that we as the church become the collective voice. Prepare your hearts for the way of the Lord. Now hang on. Hang on. Because as we continue to explore the Gospel of Luke, the way of the Lord gets kind of weird sometimes. It knocks against conventional wisdom. You'll find yourself lending money to people you're enemies with. You'll find yourself lending money, not expecting to get it back. You'll find yourself praying a lot. You'll find yourself forgiving a lot. You'll find yourself being forgiven a lot. But church, may we be the voice in this desert place. Because even though we get rain and we get cold weather, this is a desert place. Because there are people who thirst. There are people searching for significance, searching for meaning. There are people hunting, searching for a relationship with God. And some of those people are in here, and some of those people are us. But let's be that collective voice in the wilderness. Amen? Let's pray. God, thank you so much for the ministry of John, and thank you so much for his humility. Father, we never see him trying to get accolades. We never see him trying to be the center of attention. We see him simply preaching truth. We see him simply preparing the way for Christ. Father, I pray that this church would be molded in the spirit of John in this regard, that we would be a collective voice preparing the way for others. God, I pray that we would never forget the meaning of repentance, that we would embrace ourselves in the Holy Spirit and fire of God, and that you would change us, and that we will submit to your change. Father, where we need attitude adjustment, God, we pray that you just eradicate our attitude and give us a new attitude. Father, where there is resistance to your way, Father, I pray that you obliterate our resistance, that we might just fall deeply in love with your way. God, in response to our baptism and our repentance, I pray that we would not neglect the social component, that we understand that having changed lives and changed attitudes means that we just have an entirely different ethic when it comes to the way we treat other people. And so, God, as we continue to read through the book of Luke, the book of Acts, I pray that you would teach us and lead us to deeper understandings of what it means to love you and to love others and how to put that into action. God, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. And maybe this morning it's just a matter of us asking God to start a fire in us, to perhaps have the same fire that John the Baptizer, John the Baptist had. And as we sing this song, I pray that it will be a truth spoken in your life. If there is something that you need for the church to do for you, pray for you, touch you and hug you and love on you, you want to respond to that by just coming forward. Shepherds will make their way up here and others will join you so that you are not alone in your walk. We want to provide that for you. If you want to respond to God's message and you want to be baptized into Jesus Christ, we can also provide that ministry for you. So as we sing this song, listen, sing, hear, allow this truth to be spoken into your life. Let's stand, let's sing.